Digital Music Trends, episode 107, on the 24th of October, 2012. Hello everyone, and welcome to Digital Music Trends, episode 107. This week, I'm not actually really here, so we're reverting to Digital Music Trends' old format, which is one-to-one interviews, and we have two really great companies that are featuring on the show while I'm on vacation, which are BAM.TV and Daytonia. So we're going to have Nick Hansen and Chris Hansen from BAM.TV and Will Lovegrove from Daytonia, who are going to talk about their companies and what they're all about. I hope you enjoy the show. There's not going to be a show next week, but we're going to be back on the 5th of November, as usual, with the panel and the news coverage. I hope you have a great week, and till next time. Okay, so today it's a great pleasure to welcome on the show Chris Hansen and Nick Hansen, respectively CEO and company director at BAM.TV. So hi guys, and thanks for joining me on the show. I hope the connection holds out as I'm on a Paris hotel Wi-Fi and your guys are in San Francisco. So how's it going today?
Very well, thanks. Yeah,
going very well. Thanks for making the connection from a hotel room.
I just hope the Wi-Fi holds out. So, yeah. First of all, I know that the company has already been around for a year, and quite a few of our listeners may have heard of it. But would you mind just running me through where BAM.TV first originated and what was the initial concept for the company?
Sure. So, we've actually been recording bands for about 3 years now in our studio in San Francisco. And at festivals and venues in different parts of the world, South by Southwest, and in Europe as well. So the business model is we don't charge bands anything to record, and we split the net profits 50-50 with the artist. And in return, we get a global distribution license to the content.
So we're really, BAM.TV is really a content production and distribution company.
Yeah.
And our unique selling point is the fact that when artists work with us, they assign us a global license to what we record. They retain the ownership of their songs, their copyright and intellectual property. But what we seek to monetize is what we record either in the studio here in the San Francisco headquarters or on location.
Absolutely. And there are two main challenges that you address with the company. The first one is actual costs of production of a high definition, high quality music video. And the second one is the challenge of actually, once you get that video done, is to actually monetize it. So the great thing is that since you guys don't actually charge for the production of the content, then you really have a great incentive into the monetization side of things. But starting with the production of the content, how do you feel bands feel about the production of this type of high definition content? Do they actively seek it out, or do you actually have to make them realize how important that kind of content can be for their career?
I think the perception is pretty clear with artists that video is the new album art.
Yeah.
And this is the most attractive wrapper that you can put around your music in order to have mass appeal.
Yeah.
And so when, you know, Napster came along and music was suddenly this compressed MP3 file that you were downloading from some torrent, the whole user experience got lost. And so in our experiences with the artists, both in terms of ones that are trying to get big gigs, like to go on, you know, late night talk shows and big festivals, they want to see how you can perform live, because anybody can sound good in the studio. But then also for consumers and just getting a fan base and getting people excited about what they're doing, video just is sort of irreplaceable for that.
I think the thing that when we started prognosticating, if we could form a company that would have a strong music focus, but would be, you know, designed in a way to sidestep all of the problems that go along with recording contracts and distribution and playout from an analog era to a digital era, what we started to think of was, well, you know, the CD is, for lack of a better phrase, dead. I mean, CD sales are not a growth industry. And so what we started out with was the mentality that don't record a demo, record a video. And that was many years ago, now 5 years ago, but we've kind of grown the concept from there as the business has developed. And now we're at the stage where we have, you know, close to 70 hours of finished video content, about 175, 180 different artists.
Yeah. Go on.
I was just going to say the other great thing about video is if you start off with broadcast quality HD, there are any number of derivative works you can do, whether it's ringtones, you know, it could be any number of things. But if you don't start with video, you never get it.
Absolutely. Of course. And the thing that people have to realize is that it's not just a high quality video. It's also quite high quality recording. So I assume you guys record multi tracks from the gig and then it all gets mixed down. So it's a whole process around the audio as well, I'm sure.
Right.
Absolutely. I mean, it's really important to what we do. We tend to record the video and the audio on a internet streaming device that's called a TriCaster. It's pretty well known in the industry these days. And that means that we have rough cut live streaming to the internet sort of straight away. But what's really important for us, both for the audio and the video, is to go back and make the cuts on the beat so that it has an impact as if it were a scripted studio session. And actually, our avatar for our iPad app is also our chief audio engineer, and we have a team of really committed professionals that are really blow me away with their knowledge and understanding of just what sounds great.
Yeah, the great thing about video in this environment is it's this amazing collaboration.
Yeah.
Between the artists that come in and play their hearts out, but then our video editor looking at it, trying to take like what the band is projecting, what the stage design is inspiring, and making a final product that is bigger than just a live performance, you know, of some band.
So that's the miracle and the beauty of television, I suppose.
Yeah. And the other challenge, so we're talking about the making of the video, and we'll talk about how that works. And the other challenge, of course, is getting people that are outside of the sphere of people that know a lot about music or that would care about new bands to care about this video that is produced and to distribute it and to monetize it properly, because that's the second huge challenge that faces artists that are not on a major label or you know, a large independent. So how did you go about working on that side, and how did you start approaching international partners and the US partners for the distribution of video?
Well, on the production side, the first step of production is curation.
Yeah.
And because we're investing a lot of time and effort into doing this, we only work with bands that we think are on the cusp of doing it. It doesn't matter if they're unknown or if they're relatively well known. If we think that they have the potential to break through, then we invest, you know, the production.
Yeah.
And that has actually paid big dividends for us, because we have a pretty good track record of working with bands that have gone on to be validated by other tastemakers. So that's great. In terms of, you know, how do we get people to care about a band that they haven't heard of? That's where for our consumer-facing side, that's where the iPad app really comes in, as just a fully immersive experience that is intrinsically enjoyable. And when you actually sit down and watch the videos, we hope that you get engrossed in it.
Yeah, absolutely. And so let's talk about that. That's actually, you know, the reason for the interview. You guys have this new iPad app coming out, which, you know, looks great. How did you go about conceptualizing the idea of the app? And of course, it's all based around curation. And how can people explore the catalog of BAM.TV?
So, I mean, we set out and we said we have to have a really great, intuitive, simple, to the point user interface. And we have that mostly in actually in our website, which is written in HTML5. We worked with a famous newspaper designer called Mario Garcia and his team that he assembled from people from really all around the world, really came together to put this together.
Yep.
So we have the website that's already been released, and the response to that has been quite warm. It's very direct. It's very to the point. But what we really wanted to do was for the true believers that really are into music discovery, give them something a little bit more. The iPad is by far the most elegant consumer device probably that's ever been created. I mean, in terms of if you really think about what you can actually do with that little device.
Yeah.
So what we wanted to do was to give the user something that rewards not only the ear and the eye with the music and the video, but also the finger. So that you can tap and play around in this real world environment that's inspired by underground music venues, nightclubs, things like that. It's meant to appeal to the you always feel happy when you found out about a band first.
Yeah.
So it's these are the types of venues where you're gonna make these types of music discoveries. And what we really tried to do was to create a way that if you really want to engage with the app, the more you engage with it, the more it's going to reward you by virtue of unlocking special content, for undergoing the effort.
Yeah.
Mostly, it gives you a direct and a very clear pathway to playing our music videos.
Absolutely. And in terms of the actual monetization side, do you have any monetization features within the app? I know that there's a sketch of a store as well, possibly in the works.
So there is ad-supported streaming and as the primary model there. And
yeah.
We have built the banner ads into the environment of the venue.
Yeah.
So that they are present and not obtrusive. And then there are also pre-roll advertising on some of the videos. We're going light on advertising right now because in terms of the full big picture of the business model, just relying on that is not a good model. And that's why we have another aspect of the business, which is the B2B side.
Yeah.
And that's where we give fuller access to our library and direct licenses to mobile carriers, IPTV, even traditional cable companies, who it may be that based on their geography,
yeah,
they can access major label content, or it may be that they're experiencing increased competition in, say, the mobile space, and they want to have something that's exclusive to their subscribers.
Yeah.
So these types of deals are actually quite lucrative, and they're not reliant upon X number of views or CPMs or whatever.
Of course.
We feel like these two sort of sides of the business balance out very nicely because one provides regular recurring revenue while the other is a very exciting consumer-facing product that we can kind of take some risks on.
And the other thing, I think that's well said. And I think the other thing that I'd like to add is that we're a startup. I mean, we've been, I suppose you wonder how long you're a startup, but I mean, we've been doing this for a while. But we still think of ourselves as a startup, but we're also really trying to create a dynamic, forward-thinking brand so that we can, I mean, BAM TV stands for bricks and mortar media. So the infrastructure that we're building will allow us to, perhaps branch out into other content types over time. What we really want to do right now is stay true to what we're finding is a very interesting position in the market to be because of the challenges of licensing major label content and keeping our heads down on that. But we really want to grow this as a consumer brand over time.
Absolutely. Have you found any trouble in terms of, artists maybe being interested in doing this and artists that you wanted to have as part of the offering for content, but where there was a label involved and there may have been some friction there? Or would at this level of artists that are still developing the label just be happy that there's somebody willing to pay for the creation of the content?
Well, I will say as a musician, and you know, a lot of us who started the business together were in a band together, or we were just deeply involved in music. So there is a background noise of suspicion with anybody that wants to make you sign anything in the music industry, and rightly so, in our opinion. We approach the artists largely because we go out to see a lot of live music. We really try to be active in the community.
Yeah.
Our licensing agreement, for as robust as it is, it's a 3-page agreement written in 11-point font.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can't, there's nothing hidden there. The whole business model is based on transparency. So we do everything we can to put them at ease.
Yeah.
And in terms of recognizing the opportunity, you know, it doesn't really matter at what level the artist is. It's self-evident. You know, if you want to have a wider reach and somebody's going to create broadcast quality videos and give you a portion of that that you can use for free to promote yourself, if you don't mind licensing your music to some experimental business models, there's really not a downside.
Of course.
The thing of it is, I mean, the takeaway for artists is, because to answer your question, yes, there are conversations that often need to be had. I'm actually based in London, so I mean, I manage our European side of things, which is about, you know, 40% of our overall sort of number of colleagues and things like that.
Yeah.
And I did the team did, but I led up 15 bands in 5 days that we did at a studio in the Netherlands this January. That content's just coming out now. And it was very made extremely clear to me with sometimes some very last minute conversations and negotiations, just how new this approach is to recording music.
Yeah.
But my fallback position is, dear artists, you own your copyright. You own your intellectual property. You own your songs. You retain the moral rights to your own work. All you're doing when you're, you know, saying you want us to monetize globally your songs is assigning us a license for what we record together, and everything else is yours.
Yeah.
And I think that was a circumstance that needed to be repeated a few times, and it repeated a few times because we're not a record label. We're not trying to, you know, do that. We're not in that space. We think that we can keep our focus and actually bring together broadband delivery providers, artists, consumers, and someone should have switched off his phone before.
All right.
Sorry. Wider internet sort of ecosystem.
Of course. So let's talk a little bit more about the curation aspect of and the discovery aspect. How do you get people really involved in the content that you produce in a way that it's all encompassing?
I mean, I think the thing that is really, I hope, really compelling for our artists and for our users is the whole notion of storytelling.
Yep.
I mean, in this day and age, you know, when music is very digital, you might not even necessarily know who you're listening to, particularly if it's a mashup or a remix or something.
Sure.
And so what we're really trying to do in the app is, when the curtains open and the music videos are playing, there are 3 buttons at the bottom. One is listen, the next is learn, and then the final one is engage. So the learn button is our sort of biographical information and external links that we provide for the user to discover more about the band. And on the engage side, of course, there's all the sharing and social media aspects that you'd expect. But there's also an API call to a company called Thrill Call, which will list all of the band's upcoming gigs, and then provide a quick link for the possibility to buy tickets straight through the app.
That's fantastic. And do you have any more API sort of integration type stuff that you think you might be interested in doing in the future, in terms of allowing people to access some of the content or anything like that?
Well, so within the app, we have a gamification layer that's powered by Badgeville. And, you know, some people that don't want that experience, and it's a totally optional path that you can take through the app.
Yeah.
But as you progress and consume more content, create your custom playlist and share them with your friends on social media, you can unlock different doors and areas within the app where there's premium content waiting behind. Oh, and the ultimate progression of that gamification is if you become an active user and you're really engaged with the app, once we develop sort of a core user base, you'll be able to vote for Artist of the Month.
Yeah.
And the Artist of the Month will win $1,000 cash prize from BAM TV.
Right.
So for the truly diehard music enthusiasts, this is just a great chance to have something that you do in the virtual world have an effect in the real world.
I mean, I really would recommend that, you know, any artist that is, I mean, I guess, you know, you have to be at a certain level in order to be part of the radar and to be able to get into this program. But as you said, the artist can be completely unknown as long as the music is fantastic, because you actually curate the content and choose what's going to go on it. So really, I would encourage any artist listening to the show as well to give the site a look. And if it sounds like something that they think could be up their street, to maybe give you a shout. If you have do you have a submissions page?
Yeah, you can just email info@bam.tv.
Great.
And that goes to all the principals, and, you know, links to examples of, you know, your songs on pretty much any website. That's what we need to go on.
Yeah. And the same thing goes for any content owners or content partners that may be interested in licensing the content. You can get in touch with the BAM.TV at the same email address. Well, I think, you know, it's a fantastic idea, and I can't wait to see it develop more. And I'm probably going to try and drop by in London and see what you guys are up to as well.
Great. The door's open, for sure.
It's fantastic. Well, again, it's BAM.TV, and the app as well has just come out for iPad. And you should really check it out. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Andrea.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, so it's great to have today on the show Willa Lovegrove, who is the CEO and founder of Daytonia. So hi, Will. It's great to have you on the show. How's it going today?
Very good, thank you. I'm pleased to be here. Thanks for the invite.
That's great. So first of all, I wanted to touch on your background because I think it's significant in understanding how you ended up launching this this new company. So where do you start from, especially talking about release and how that fits into the picture?
Yeah, where to start? I've been working in the music industry since 1997, and I started out always on digital, always on the internet. And I worked for companies like the Ministry of Sound, and a technology startup called PeopleSound, and then in 2003 I started working for Universal Music Group in their IT department, and in 2008 I created my own consulting company called Release Consulting.
Yeah.
And a couple of years after starting that, we rebranded ourselves as Release Mobile, and we started doing a lot of work with mobile applications. And we still work quite a lot in the music industry. We've got a very long-standing and positive relationship with Universal Music Group and Sony Music, in fact. So we do a mixture of things. We do back-end enterprise system development for major record labels, and we also do mobile app development for typically media and entertainment companies.
Absolutely.
And then Daytonia is our product that we have created that really acts like a content management system for mobile apps.
Yeah.
No, on a technical level, I describe it slightly differently. It's an API creation platform that makes data APIs from Excel sheets and Dropbox. But in terms of a practical application, it's a multi-platform mobile app content management system.
That's great. And you know, the key part of building a successful startup, people always say, is to solve a real problem that people are having. And the real problem in this case is that a lot of companies see the value and benefit in having some of their internal data available to developers to play around with, especially, you know, in the music industry. From that standpoint, you know, a lot of people are interested in music hack days and what's going on out there and how to make data available to developers. But very few know how to set one up. So that's where you come in, right?
Yeah. So that's exactly right. You know, the situation that we found ourselves in continually was... when we went to speak to people about mobile apps, they give us their vision for the mobile app, and it always involved updating the app with content. But if that organization didn't have an API, then that made content updates inside the app quite difficult.
Yeah.
The problem got worse if they had apps on multiple platforms, like web apps, iOS or Android.
Yeah.
And they wanted to do those content updates simultaneously. And really, you need an API. But the issue is that... APIs are complex, technical, difficult to set up. You need IT resources, you need money, you need time. And suddenly, what turned, you know, a conversation about a mobile app turned into a conversation about IT integration. And that's a very, very different type of conversation.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we set out to solve those problems and do it, you know, make an API creation platform fast, you know, fast to set up, easy to set up, and cheap. You know, that was a real driver as well, and we did that by linking together Excel and Dropbox, you know, and our own cloud application called Daytonia.
That's great. Because of course you're making use of two tools that are very, very much, you know, easy to use, and people are used to using them. And then if you integrate that with your own backend and make it work so that it works as an API, that's probably an amazing way forward for companies that don't have, you know, a lot of IT resources available and can just say, we're going to upgrade the Excel, drop it on Dropbox, and that's that. Nothing else to do.
Yeah, you got it. And it was very, very deliberate to use Dropbox and Excel. You got it. You know, Dropbox has got something like 50 million companies, 50 million users worldwide. So many of those are in small to medium organizations. Excel is just prevalent everywhere.
Yeah.
These are tools that people know how to use. It's easy stuff.
Yeah.
And that was such a big thing for us to make it as easy as possible to make something complex like an API.
Yeah. And one thing that's of course a challenge, but I guess with the flexibility of Excel and probably the backend that you have is not as much of a problem, is the fact that all the real world use cases that you might have for deploying APIs will have a very, very different sets of data that are going to be required to be pushed out. Was that a challenge for you in terms of how the data is presented and how you set things up at the beginning so that it works for the company that is using the service?
We sidestepped that problem, and it's not a problem for us because we take data from Excel. We just treat the Excel spreadsheet as a two-dimensional array of data. It doesn't matter what it contains. It can contain anything: product catalog, track listings, metadata. It's not important. The API that we create that accesses that two-dimensional array is agnostic of the contents of the data.
Yeah.
We just talk about getting the data set, exporting it, looking at delta functions. So you can literally put anything you want into Excel, and therefore you can create an API containing anything you want. It can be used for, and we have one client right now, which is a cookery school, using it to update recipes inside their mobile apps.
Wow, that's great.
We're working with Music Ally as well on some data sets being fed through to a website and also some of the other customers. And we're working with Pierce, you know, and so are asking their labels to use it to type in tour dates, you know. So it's very, very flexible and powerful.
Absolutely.
In enabling technology that it doesn't matter about the structure of the data itself.
Yeah, sure. And so how are you seeing the company expand in terms of acquiring your business? Are you hoping on word of mouth, or do you have a more sort of outlined plan on trying to get the word out? Because, of course, it's a fairly technical thing that people might not realize they need until they come up to the wall of needing it. But I think a lot of companies will benefit from having it anyway, just as something that they can share with the developer community.
Yeah, you got it. I mean, right now, selling API technology to small to medium enterprises is a tough sell, you know, because most of them don't know how to use that kind of technology. They don't know what kind of problems it will solve. So you're trying to sell something to them that they don't know that they need.
Yeah.
The probably right now in the short term or the midterm, the smart thing for us to do is to partner with organizations.
Yeah.
So we're having conversations right now with mobile app development platforms, you know, the sort of...
Polaroid or...
Yeah, exactly. Guys like that who, you know, where you can create mobile apps, you know, inside the browser, but they need to be connected to a data source.
Yeah.
We're having conversations with organizations like who provide back-end mobile server solutions, you know, people like StackMob and Parse, because they have they provide developers with very, very sophisticated tools and environments.
Yeah.
But again, what we found that we're good at is helping extract data from client organizations, non-technical guys, in a very structured, machine-readable way. So we're not competing with those guys. We're entirely compatible with them. We're helping to connect data from their clients' organizations through to mobile apps.
Yeah, absolutely. And if anything, it makes the mobile apps more have a longer lifespan, the fact that people can actually update the information on there, as opposed to just having an app that is out there and it's just static and people don't see any benefit from. So,
oh, totally. You know, it's still slightly frustrating to me. You know, on my iPhone, I periodically get app updates from you know, organizations, and literally all it says in the update notes is new content, and
yeah.
It's like, crazy. You should get an API. You know, that app should be connected through to an API. You know, this is, you know, it's 2012, for God's sake.
Yeah, absolutely. And so the last point I wanted to talk about was the LinkedIn built-in thing. That's a really interesting thing that I read on the press release. So you've got some way of finding, like for a discoverability argument, allowing people to find people that are actually potentially interested in their API, right?
Yeah, So we've been working with a lot of companies throughout the design of this product, right?
Yeah.
From the start. And what we realized about APIs is that small organizations in particular need an API to solve one problem. But the thing about APIs is they become more and more valuable to an organization if they solve more than one problem, or put it another way, an API is valuable when one organization or one developer integrates into it.
Yeah.
Becomes twice as valuable when another developer integrates into it. So we recognize that in order to increase the value of our proposition to our customers, we were all about trying to help them find developers. So what we did, we actually built integrated into LinkedIn's API, and we built a custom search engine inside Datonia that can help our customers find developers.
Absolutely.
Specifically.
Great. Okay, so last point for the interview would be, like, how can a company get in touch with you guys? And do you have any way for them to try out the service before they actually start on it?
Absolutely, yeah. Datonia is available now at datonia.com. It's free to use for 3 months. You can sign up straight away. It's entirely self-service. All you need is a Dropbox account. You can create an API in literally minutes. And, you know, on the website, there's even a demonstration video of me doing that in 2.5 minutes or something like that. So
awesome.
It's really easy to use.
Perfect. Well, thanks so much for coming on the show. And I look forward to see what people are going to create with Datonia.
Thanks very much for the invitation. I appreciate it.
Great.